This is the Linux.com AudioCast, a regular program featuring news about the Linux and open source community. Each program will be talking to the movers and shakers in open source who make it all happen. My name is Joe Brockmeyer. I'm the editorial director for Linux.com, and I'll be your host for the AudioCast. Thanks for tuning in. The Postgres project has just released the beta for 8.2, which includes a number of new features and performance improvements over Postgres 8.1. Josh Berkus, a member of the core Postgres team, took the time Monday to talk with me a little bit about the new features in 8.2 and the plan for developing Postgres 8.3. Here's Josh to describe what happens after the beta release.
We've consolidated all of the patches that we're accepting for version 8.2, and we're now going into around a month of beta testing, during which we try to get as many of our users as possible to download and test PostgreSQL. Since we have automated testing now for sort of general tests, what we're really looking for is users who have applications that have particularly complex database applications that may use unusual features, that they have the time and resources to test porting the application to PostgreSQL 8.2, because that's the only way that we're going to find out corner cases with the release, like, you know, if enabling two different kinds of exotic indexes in the same database causes some kind of a problem. That's beta. From there, we go into release candidates. We average about three of them. Once we go into release candidates, we'll branch off version 8.3. The main news for version 8.3 development is that this is going to be a short cycle that is about 7 to 8 months. For the release instead of our normal 1 year. There's a couple of reasons for that. Reason number one is that we had several major features that didn't make it into 8.2 because of unresolved integration issues and some architectural issues that needed to go back to the drawing board that we only figured out late in the development cycle. The second reason is that we've fallen into sort of a cycle of having feature freeze and consolidation happening in the middle of the summer. That's a real problem for our development because a lot of our heavy coding people are European, and as Europeans get 3 to 6 weeks of vacation, we frequently lose quite a few of our European developers in the middle of the summer. Also this year we lost one of our top developers, Neil Conway, to an internship. So, I mean, between all of those things, we actually wanted to move the release cycle either towards the fall or towards the spring. And the problem with moving it towards the fall is we conflict with several sort of global holidays. That is, you can't, well, as we experienced previously back in version 7.3, you can't release a major software package the week of American Thanksgiving and expect it to get any press coverage in the U.S.
So it would have taken too long to add those features that you were saying you want to get in 8.3.
Yeah. Well, basically, I mean, you know, it would have taken another few months. The thing is, we actually had an issue with PostgreSQL 7.4 where we tried the, okay, as soon as important feature X is ready, we'll go ahead and bundle it up. Important feature X was actually Windows support. We really tried to get Windows support available for Postgres 7.4. The problem was that we postponed the release several times, postponing it 2.5 months and all, and Windows support still wasn't ready. And in fact, they did not work out all the issues with Windows support for another 9 months after that. We basically postponed the release 2.5 months for nothing. So after that, the PostgreSQL core team, whose main job is to decide on the schedule for releases, made sort of a pledge that we would not delay releases for the sake of one feature.
Okay. Now you want to hit some of the highlights of what new features are going to be in 8.2.
Okay. Well, 8.2 is, in general, I would characterize 8.2 is actually more about existing PostgreSQL users than it is about being buzzword compliant to attract new users. That is a lot. If you actually look at the release notes, you will see that there are over 200 significant changes to the code base. Basically, we spent a lot of time in 8.2 going through every aspect of an interface that wasn't implemented and every little thing that was really annoying people that they couldn't do, and little areas where we supported, you know, six commands that were supported by some other database but not the other four, and refactoring quite a number of things and making them more efficient. So it was actually difficult in terms of I'm drafting the public announcement of the release, and it's been difficult to identify particular features that are standouts, because what this is more is sort of an across-the-board development where we touched almost every file in the code base. However, there are a few interesting things. One of my personal favorites is something called generalized inverted indexes. As you know, I used to work in data warehousing for Greenplum, and even though I'm now working for Sun Microsystems, I still have an interest in it. And generalized inverted indexes is a new indexing technique approach designed to help relational databases index what would be known as multi-value fields. In this particular case, the first implementation is for full text indexes. The idea is to eventually support a structure that would allow you to create a single full text index that was terabytes in size and still be able to use it, which you can't do on any existing full text indexing system I know of, except maybe whatever Google has.
You also mentioned better SQL 2003 support.
Yeah, mostly what that is that we're going through and implementing a lot of functions that were introduced in SQL 2003. Particularly, we had a Summer of Code project, thank you Google, which sponsored a student who was implementing what are known as multi-column aggregates. That is, PostgreSQL was unusual in databases in letting you write your own aggregates in user space, and then use them as first-class aggregates in the first place. So you weren't stuck with sum and total or whatever. You could write your own aggregate, which would be called, rounded sum if you wanted to leave off the decimal places, or some other exotic things. I've got a little thing up on my webpage where I implement, in fact, a random aggregate. But you were limited to only being able to run an aggregate over one column at a time. In order to support a number of the 2003 statistical functions introduced with SQL 2003, we needed to actually have two-column aggregates that could do a comparison between two values as a part of the aggregate, or take a constant and a column value for an aggregate. Those were implemented as part of Summer of Code, and then followed up by other developers by actually using that infrastructure to implement all of the SQL 2003 aggregates. So I believe that we now implement all SQL 2003 aggregates, which are not what is known as windowing aggregates. So the windowing aggregates will be our next big task in that area.
And you also mentioned in email the warm standby databases.
Yeah, well, we've been sort of creeping towards that for a while. Basically, in 8.0, we implemented point-in-time recovery. And at that time, it was possible, if you were very familiar with the sort of insight of how PostgreSQL implemented that feature, to implement what would be known as a warm standby database. That is, a database on a separate server that would be in continuous recovery mode so that it would constantly be taking new transactions from your main server and could be brought up in a matter of seconds if the main server failed. The changes to version 8.2 make it non-hackerish to implement this. That is, by following the documentation, any DBA should be able to implement having a warm standby server.
Any other thoughts about 8.2 is, you know, you're hoping for people to bang on it and work out all the kinks?
Yeah, I mean, particularly I do want to see people testing out some of the new exotic features, because I don't think those necessarily get as much of a workout as they need to. I'd also like some people who are interested in doing serious performance testing, because we've done a lot of performance testing ourselves, but that's centered around industry workloads. And one thing I've learned in the last 3 years of doing benchmarking off and on is that synthetic benchmarks and real-world application performance tend to be somewhat divergent in terms of how things work, Particularly, one thing we'd like to correct during the beta phase is if anybody can identify areas in which 8.2 is slower than 8.1 was, because that shouldn't happen, and if you discover such a thing, it should be correctable.
Now, anybody who's testing this on OpenSolaris has an additional tool for helping to troubleshoot.
Yeah, one of the things that we've added in there that I don't believe we yet have full documentation for, we're still working on that, is that we've added hooks on the database side to support the dtrace tool, which allows you to monitor, at this point, a fairly limited number of different interior database activities. And the nice thing about dtrace, rather than just putting hooks in the code like we did for LW logs, is that by using the dtrace tool, you can not only see, for example, how many calls the database is making for opening a new transaction, but exactly what system resources are required to fulfill that call, provided you know enough of the dtrace templating language. With the documentation, we should be enclosing some sample dtrace reports that you can run using these hooks. Whether or not we will have those before release Canada, I'm not sure. Also, I will mention that for people who are really on the cutting edge, dtrace is also available for FreeBSD and Mac OS X Darwin.
Any other quick thoughts on the 8.2 release?
Well, performance should be really up overall. I've gotten about 20% at OLTP. We have a bunch of GreenPlum's data warehousing modifications in there that should make performance much better for large databases, although I don't have a figure on that at this point. One of the other things that we were trying to actually sort of highlight here, particularly since it's been an area of a lot of activity, is some of the optional exotic functionality for Postgres. I mean, for example, one thing that we decided wasn't quite ready for the core code yet, but maybe for 8.3, was another Google Summer of Code project called Full Disjunctions. And Full Disjunctions was an, until this implementation, completely theoretical new join type designed to aid in the consolidation of data. It does an aggregation of data that's sort of almost human in its way of trying to extract the most data out of an incomplete data set. We have that on our PG Foundry external project site. There are other things that have, as well as, you know, our Java procedural language and other things that have improved. We also have optional modules that ship with the core code itself, including stuff I realize not a lot of people have heard of. I mean, for example, we actually have an optional data type for UPC product numbers and ISBN book code numbers that's been updated to current international standards for this release. And I've actually even caught people who were, in fact, writing inventory applications in Postgres and not using these data types. So I want to make sure that, you know, people who are looking at Postgres 8.2 for the first time and users who haven't really dipped into the functionality that's available to actually start looking at some of those optional modules, because you may find that one or two of them actually does exactly what it is that you need to do.
If you're interested in testing the beta release, the Postgres project has more information on their homepage about getting source code or binaries and reporting bugs or problems with the beta. I'd like to thank Josh for taking the time out Monday to talk to us about the beta. That's it for this show. I'm Joe Brockmeyer. Be sure to check Linux.com daily for news and information about Linux and open source. Thanks a lot for listening, and have a good day.